Hey everybody, Josh Peck here. Glad to be talking with you again today. This is, of course, Peck Report. So this Momo challenge has made a resurgence, but is it even real? Also, how does this connect with the ancient Jewish mythology, the ancient Jewish myth of Lilith? And also, there's other Mesopotamian goddesses that could fill that role as well. Is Momo just the modern reiteration of this ancient demon that goes after children? That's what we're going to be talking about today. Now, if you haven't had a chance to do so, make sure you subscribe to this channel, click the bell for notifications, and keep checking joshpeckdisclosure.com for more information. So there's been a couple of stories that have come out about this new resurgence of this Momo challenge. Some that just report the story, but there's others that say this whole thing is a hoax. And it might actually be a hoax. So before we get to the hoax part of it, CBS News just put out a report saying that police have issued warnings to parents on social media after a popular WhatsApp challenge, you know, so-called, has resurfaced, sometimes infiltrating children's YouTube videos. So a Northern California mother says her daughter has fallen victim to the Momo challenge and created a nearly catastrophic situation in their home. So children who participate in this challenge supposedly contact this creepy stranger, Momo, who communicates primarily through the Facebook-owned messaging app, WhatsApp. Momo encourages a participant to complete various tasks if they want to avoid being cursed. Some of the tasks include self-harm, apparently, and ultimately the game ends with Momo telling the participant to take their own life and record it for social media, so everybody on social media can see it. Now, Pearl Woods told CBS Sacramento that her 12-year-old daughter with autism was encouraged to do dangerous things by the character. Woods said, quote, "Just another minute, she could have blown up my apartment, she could have hurt herself, other people beyond scary," end quote. Now, Woods, who lives in Folsom, is careful about what videos her daughter Zoe can watch online and has multiple parental settings. Woods says, quote, "She's on the spectrum, and a lot of children that are very impressionable," end quote. And a few weeks ago, Zoe began displaying some unusual behavior. Woods said, quote, "Where is suicide coming from? Why would she ask me about a knife into an outlet?" End quote. So last weekend, Zoe apparently turned on the kitchen gas stove without letting it light, which created a potentially explosive situation. Woods said, quote, "She kept telling me about Momo and I just didn't understand. I see now," end quote. She discovered alarming short clips popping up in the videos that Zoe was watching. Woods said, quote, "She pauses the screen as soon as I walk in and I saw this creepy masked doll looking," end quote, Woods said. Now, her daughter told her it was Momo making bad videos and that it was bad. But whether the hoax or whether the channel is a hoax or not, officials say it's a teachable moment. So Captain Chris Vestal with Sacramento Metro Fire said, quote, "That's really an explosive fire danger. We really encourage parents to pay attention to what their children are doing on the internet. Ask them what they're doing," end quote. Now, across the country, kids are reporting seeing Momo videos with the strange cartoon-like character telling kids to do dangerous things. So CBS Los Angeles reports pediatrician and mom Dr. Free Hess was disturbed by what she found: violent content, sexual innuendos, and clips spliced into kids' videos that included a man giving tips on suicide. So Dr. Hess said, quote, "We have no idea what seeing this content does to children. Their brains are not fully developed, so they're not able to think through complex situations such as the things they are seeing," end quote. The original image of Momo is actually a sculpture called Mother Bird by Japanese artist Keisuke Aizawa, which was on display in 2016 at the Vanilla Gallery in Tokyo. There's no evidence that Aizawa's company Link Factory was involved in the creation or execution of the Momo challenge. Link Factory did not immediately respond to CBS's news request for a comment, But like most memes, the Momo channel challenge seemingly disappeared soon after it went viral. But this week, parents across the UK are finding the game on WhatsApp, as well as hidden within animated videos for children across social media. So a WhatsApp spokesperson told CBS News, quote, WhatsApp cares deeply about the safety of our users. It's easy to block any phone number, and we encourage users to report problematic messages to us so we can take action, end quote. A YouTube spokesperson told CBS News, quote, our community guidelines prohibit harmful and dangerous challenges, including promoting the Momo challenge, and we remove this content quickly when flagged to us, end quote. But it might not be all it's cracked up to be. This might actually be just a big hoax. So The Atlantic put out a report towards calling it a hoax, basically. So it says that on Tuesday afternoon, a Twitter user going by the name of Wanda Maximoff whipped out her iPhone and posted a terrifying message to parents. Warning, please read. This is real. There is a thing called Momo that's instructing kids to kill themselves. And then the attached screenshot of a Facebook post reads, inform everyone you can. So Maximoff's plea has been retweeted more than 22,000 times, and the screenshot featuring the creepy face of Momo has spread like wildfire across the internet yet again. Local news hopped on the story on Wednesday, amplifying it to millions of terrified parents. Kim Kardashian even posted a warning about this challenge to her 129 million Instagram followers. So to any concerned parent reading this, reading all of this, obviously they would think, well, there's cause for concern, but there might not actually be. So The Atlantic is saying that the Momo challenge is a reoccurring viral hoax that's been perpetuated by local news stations and scared parents around the world. And this entire cycle of shock, terror, and outrage about Momo previously took place less than a year ago. We all remember that. Last summer, local news outlets ran across the country reporting that the Momo challenge was spreading amongst teens via WhatsApp. But previously, rumors about the challenge spread throughout Latin America and Spanish-speaking countries. So apparently, according to The Atlantic, the Momo challenge wasn't real then, and it's not real now. YouTube confirmed it, apparently, and contrary to press reports, it hasn't seen any evidence of videos showing or promoting the Momo challenge on its platform. If the videos did exist, a spokesperson for YouTube said, they would be removed instantly for violating the platform's policies. And additionally, there have been zero corroborated reports of any child ever taking his or her own life after participating in this apparently phony challenge. So Jim Watterson tweeted out, a lot of this relies on people believing their local school or police force knows what they're talking about when it comes to the internet. Unfortunately, most don't have a clue and are sending letters to parents warning of non-existent issues like YouTube videos being hacked. Now, Momo itself, again, we talked about it, that the sculpture was created by an artist. After some Instagram photos of that exhibit were posted to the Reddit channel Creepy, it spread and the Momo challenge urban legend was born. Now, for parents today, it can seem that the internet has endless ways of trying to kill your children or persuading your children to kill themselves. You know, the so-called Blue Whale Challenge supposedly asked kids to complete a series of tasks that culminated in suicide, and the trend later turned out to be a hoax. There's various links on The Atlantic if you want to check this out. Local news has warned about recent crazes like teens eating toxic Tide Pods, but apparently they weren't. It was a highly exaggerated challenge. Most kids in the videos were just biting into it and spitting it out, not actually eating it, or even the potential of choking to death while snorting condoms for YouTube views. No deaths have been reported in that. So, it's, you know, sometimes this stuff gets exaggerated. Even the cinnamon challenge could supposedly kill you. But, you know, again, the thing that makes those videos viral is, you know, somebody will try to eat the cinnamon and then spit it out because it's impossible, you know. So there's a lot of that kind of stuff, and then it gets exaggerated. But all these challenges and trends seem to follow the same formula. So a local news station runs a piece overstating a dangerous teen trend. Concerned parents flock to social media to spread the word. Actual teenagers and anyone else who lives their life extremely online mock them for being stupid. You know, brands and influencers hop on the trend, parroting it and exploiting it for their own gain. And then trolls take advantage of those who believe it's real, often by creating and posting content that seemingly confirms parents' worst fears. So SNL did this. You know, parodied this cycle in 2010, but since then it's only gotten worse. And these trends are part of a moral panic fueled by parents' fears in wanting to know what their kids are up to, says Benjamin Radford, a folklorist and research fellow at the Committee for Skeptic Inquiry, and he told that to Rolling Stone. And spreading them can actually end up causing harm. So he says, quote, these stories being highly publicized and starting a panic means vulnerable people get to know about it, and that creates a risk, end quote. And the UK-based suicide awareness charity Samaritans told that to The Guardian. Some kids can also end up hurting themselves by participating in the trend ironically. That's typically a lot of like what you see in the videos, like the Tide Pod stuff. But parents have always felt out of touch with younger generations, but smartphones have seemingly widened that gap. So 60% of teens have created accounts for apps or social media sites without their parents' knowledge, according to a 2016 study by the National Cybersecurity Alliance, and only 13% of teenagers believed their parents understood the extent of their internet use. So that gap in understanding has allowed this very specific type of misinformation to flourish. So worried parents share these hoax stories relentlessly on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They beg the platforms themselves to do something to fix the mess. Many parents believe that spreading awareness about the latest dangerous craze will help keep kids safe, but they very well could be doing the exact opposite if these are not true. So whether it's something to spread misinformation or whether these challenges are actually true, there seems to be something targeting children, because if this is all hoax, then that does widen the gap between parents and children. To the kids, it makes the parents look stupid. To the parents, it makes the kids look uninformed or naive. And of course, if these are real challenges, if these challenges are real, then there's a literal threat to children there. So no matter which way you look at it, it seems like there is something targeting our children. Could there be an actual literal spiritual component driving all of this? Could that spiritual component be named Lilith? We're going to talk about that in just a moment, but before we do, I have to tell you about Coastline Kratom. I love this company, a family-owned company. They're relatively new. They got started in, I think, 2015, but since then, they've just exploded on the scene, and they're one of the main kratom vendors most trusted out there. It's the highest quality kratom that you can find. They have a money-back guarantee, so there's no risk to you. They even have free U.S. shipping in certain areas. You know, everybody's tolerance is different. They offer a wide variety of kratom blends. So if you're a chronic pain sufferer like me, you might have days where you need something a little stronger, or you might have days where you're feeling pretty good and you can just do something a little bit more mellow. Coastline Kratom has got you covered. I personally suggest picking up their Ultra Enhanced Beginner's Pack. You get a whole bunch of different strains, so you can kind of try them out, see what you like. I tend to have a higher tolerance for this kind of stuff, so Ultra Enhanced is awesome for me, that kind of stuff. A lot of people ask me too, what's a good strain to start off on? If you're not going to do the Ultra Enhanced route, I would recommend, if you're just starting out, you're trying to curb some of your chronic pain, or you're trying to get off of opioids, you can't go wrong with a green Mang Da to start off with. Now, you can go to joshpeckdisclosure.com for the link. There is a banner on my website, or you can just click in the link in the description below. Coastline Kratom is PEC approved. I use Kratom every day, 2, sometimes 3 times a day, depending on the day. So I highly recommend it. I think you should check it out if this is something that you're already taking or are interested in trying out. Okay. So what about Lilith? Who is Lilith? Now, Lilith it's actually kind of interesting. C.S. Lewis, you know, one of the most beloved authors of the 20th century, he created this magical fictional world called Narnia. Most of you are probably familiar with it. The primary villain of the first book of the series, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, is Jadis, the White Witch. So this is uh, the the character Edmund's description of the White Witch when he first meets her. And then I have an interesting connection with this. But it says, quote, "A great lady taller than any woman that Edmund had ever seen. She was also covered in white fur up to her throat and held a long, straight golden wand in her right hand and wore a golden crown on her head. Her face was white, not merely pale, but white like snow or paper or icing sugar, except for her very red mouth. It was a beautiful face in other respects, but proud and cold and stern," end quote. So Jadis, the White Witch, apparently, you know, is described as beautiful and terrifying, and although she looks human, she's not. According to the character Mr. Beaver, the White Witch was descended from Lilith, Adam's first wife, on one side, and then from giants on the other side. Interesting enough, the White Witch is a demonic Lilith Nephilim hybrid, which is really strange. But, you know, who is Lilith? So is there any warrant for calling Lilith Adam's first wife, or is this just the baseless chatter of woodland creatures? And now, are these appearances of Lilith actually in the Bible? So Dan Ben Amos, a professor of folklore and Asian and Middle Eastern studies at the University of Pennsylvania, explores the figure of Lilith in the Bible and mythology in his article, From Eden to Edna, Lilith in the Garden. So, in the May and June 2016 issue of Biblical Archaeology Review, his analysis shows that Lilith is an intriguing figure who has taken on many shapes over the millennia. And from this, we see that, you know, Jadis, the White Witch, shares more than just the lineage with her supposed ancestor. Now, keep in mind this Momo challenge, what Momo looks like, what Momo is said to do, and you're going to see a lot of similarities between the supposed motivations of Momo and Lilith. So Lilith is first mentioned in ancient Babylonian texts as a class of winged female demons that attacks pregnant women and infants. So this is something that goes after children. From Babylonia, the legend of the Lilith spread to ancient Anatolia, Syria, Israel, Egypt, and Greece. And in this guise, as a wilderness demoness, she appears in Isaiah 34:14 among a list of nocturnal creatures who will haunt the destroyed kingdom of Edom. This is her only mention in the Bible, but her legend continued to grow in ancient Judaism. So you can go to biblicalarchaeology.org for more information on this. But during the Middle Ages, Jewish sources began to claim her as Adam's first and terrifying wife. Now, interestingly enough, the story about how this evolved from, you know, being a wilderness demoness to Adam's first wife, it begins in the beginning, in Genesis 1. So the creation of humans is described in Genesis 1 and in Genesis 2. The first account is fairly straightforward. It says, "So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." Genesis 1:27. Now, the second account has caused people to kind of wonder and come up with differing interpretation of what's going on here. The second account describes how God formed man out of the dust of the ground and then creates woman from man. So it says, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. So the Lord caused the deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh, and the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man he made into a woman and brought her to the man." So that's Genesis 2:7 and 21-22. Now, in the post-biblical period, some ancient Jewish scholars took the stance that Genesis 1:27 and Genesis 2:21-22 must describe two separate events, since it appears that woman is created differently in these accounts. So in her Biblical Review article, Lilith, in the October 2001 issue, Professor Janet Howe Gaines explains this reasoning. Quote, "Considering every word of the Bible to be accurate and sacred, commentators needed a midrash or story to explain the disparity in the creation narratives of Genesis 1 and 2. God creates woman twice, once with man, once from man's rib, so there must have been two women. The Bible names the second woman Eve. Lilith was identified as the first in order to complete the story," end quote. Now, accordingly, Genesis 1:27 describes the creation of Adam and an unnamed woman, Lilith. Genesis 2:7 gives more details of Adam's creation, and Genesis 2:21-22 describes the creation of Eve from Adam. So that's kind of the interpretation. I'm not advocating this or saying that there's anything true to this. It's just this is what certain Jewish thinkers believed in the past. Now, Lilith's creation is recounted in the Tales of Ben-Sira, which is an apocryphal work from the 10th century CE. So Dan Ben Amos explains that although this is the first extant text that records the legend of Lilith, her story probably existed earlier. Quote, Lilith's story seems to hover at the edges of literacy with sporadic references. In the post-biblical period, the sages identify Lilith several times, not by name, but as the first Eve, indicating that her full story was well known in oral tradition, yet barred from the canonized biblical text. Finally, in the 10th century CE in Babylon, an anonymous writer who was not bound by normative traditional principles and who included in his books some other sexually explicit tales spelled out Lilith's adventures in paradise, end quote. So the Tales of Ben-Sira relates that God created Lilith from the earth just as he had with Adam. They immediately began fighting because neither would submit to the other. Recognizing that Adam would not listen to her, Lilith pronounced the ineffable name and flew away into the air. The angels Sinivi, Sinivzi, and Similgoth were sent to pursue Lilith, but when they reached her, she refused to return with them to the Garden of Eden. She said, "Leave me. I was created only to cause sickness to infants. If the infant is male, I have dominion over him for 8 days after his birth, and if female, for 20 days. Some translations say 12. Now, as a compromise, she promised that whenever she saw the angels' names or forms on amulets, she would leave the child alone. She also agreed that 100 of her children, demons, would die every day. So Janet Howe Gaines expounds the severity of Lilith's sin and its consequences as described in the Tales of Ben-Sira. Quote, Lilith sins by impudently uttering the sacred syllables, thereby demonstrating to a medieval audience her unworthiness to reside in paradise. So Lilith flies away, having gained power to do so by pronouncing God's avowed name. Though made of the earth, she is not earthbound. Her dramatic departure reestablishes for a new generation Lilith's supernatural character as a winged devil," end quote. Gaines also explains Lilith's hatred for human babies. Quote, Ben-Sira's story suggests that Lilith is driven to kill babies in retaliation for Adam's mistreatment and God's insistence on slaying 100 of her progeny daily, end quote. So the Lilith legend continued to grow and change over the following centuries, which is reflected in various artistic depictions of her. Some portrayed Lilith as a beautiful woman. Others showed her in a more sinister light. Some even depicted her as the serpent in the Garden of Eden who convinced Eve to eat of the forbidden fruit. Others have connected it with what's called the Burney relief, which I can show you here. Let's just go to a screenshot here. You're probably familiar, it's right here, you're probably familiar with this. And it says here, this is from Wikipedia, it says that it's unclear who exactly this represents. It's just called the Queen of the Night, but it may represent Lilitu, which is Lilith. That is the Jewish, see, Lilith is a figure in Jewish mythology, developed earliest in the Babylonian Talmud. Lilith is often envisioned as a dangerous demon of the night who is sexually wanton and who steals babies in the darkness. Lilith may be linked in part to a historically earlier class of female demons, Lilitu, in ancient Mesopotamian religion. So that might be a representation, or Inanna / Ishtar is a possibility, which is an ancient Mesopotamian goddess associated with love, beauty, sex, desire, fertility, war, justice, and political power. She was originally worshipped in Sumer and was later worshipped by the Akkadians, Babylonians, and Assyrians. Or Erish Kigal, who was the goddess in Mesopotamian mythology of Kur, the land of the dead or underworld, in against Sumerian mythology. So you've probably seen that relief before, but you know, this thing has crow's feet. It's very bird-like, very similar to what you see Momo depicted as, which, if in case you haven't seen it, I'm sure I have it up here somewhere. I think here maybe. Yeah. So, and if you see the whole sculpture, actually I'll just show you the whole, like what the thing actually looks like. Let me find like a full, yeah, here we go. That's what the whole thing looks like. You see the crow's feet. It's vaguely feminine, and humanoid. You know, absolutely terrifying looking thing. So that's what we're looking at. Again, some even depicted Lilith as the serpent in the Garden of Eden who convinced Eve to eat the forbidden fruit. Now, in the C.S. Lewis novel, Jadis, the White Witch of Narnia, shares similarities with Lilith, but also does this Momo character. Whether it's a hoax or not, it doesn't really matter. It's the same with the White Witch of Narnia. You see some of those similarities. You know, C.S. Lewis was a brilliant writer, and he definitely knew how to put themes together like this. But not only of the White Witch of Narnia and Lilith, not only are both of them strong and terrifying women, but they also seem bent on destroying human life. Both wield dark magic, and they're immortal beings, as revealed in The Magician's Nephew by C.S. Lewis. Jadis gains immortality by eating a silver apple inside a walled garden in Narnia. So this episode has some obvious connections to the account of the Garden of Eden in the Bible. And additionally, both pronounce an ineffable word and suffer dire consequences as a result. So the Magician's Nephew tells how Jadis, before she became the White Witch, pronounced the deplorable word which killed every living thing in her world, Charn, except for herself. So great was her desire for power and refusal to submit. She spoke the deplorable word, knowing full well that it would kill every living person and thing in her world, rather than surrender her claims to the throne. Her claim to the throne of Charn. So these examples demonstrate that the character Jadis bears both the blood and the character of her foremother Lilith. So from demoness to Adam's first wife, Lilith is obviously a terrifying force. And you can, if you want to learn more about this, you could look up Dan Ben Amos's full article. Again, it's called From Eden to Edna, Lilith in the Garden. And it's in the May-June 2016 issue of Biblical Archaeology Review. But it's interesting that there's commonalities between Lilith and this Momo character. So again, whether Momo is real or fake, whether this is a real challenge or not, either way, this push is put in place to harm children, to divide the family, to get parents against children and children against parents. It's very harmful of children. That was in the story. That was what Lilith was up to also. Now, do I think that Lilith is a literal creature? Was Lilith like Adam's first wife? No, I don't believe that at all. But I do believe demons exist, and I believe that demons can take on characteristics and personalities from stories that we tell ourselves. I'm sure that there would be a demon out there that would be happy to take on the persona of Lilith and try to terrorize people. So, is there a spiritual push in our culture towards the harm of children? Obviously, there is, and this Momo challenge, again, be it real or hoax, is just another modern reiteration of that. Before we close up here, I've got to tell you about CBD Pure and CBD Pets. This is totally organic, non-GMO. Every batch that they make is tested. It's the best CBD oil on the market today. It's the most pure, and they put their scientific results. They put them of their tests. They put it right online, and it's not even their testing. They go through an independent third party testing facility, so they're not testing their own product and just giving themselves high ratings. They go through an independent source, so what you're getting is absolutely pure. It's the best on the market. They have it for pets. I've heard great things about, I've heard a lot of testimonials. Of course it's all anecdotal, but I've heard a lot of testimonials from people saying that this stuff is wonderful. It's helped them. It's helped their pets. So go ahead, try it out. They also have a money back guarantee, so there's no risk. But if you want to order that, you can go to joshpeckdisclosure.com. You will see a couple of banners in the top right-hand sidebar of the website, or you can just click on the links below if you are viewing this on YouTube. Make sure to check them out. You have a money back guarantee, so there is no risk. Okay, so I want to know what you think about Lilith, about Momo, about the White Witch from Narnia. I want to know what you think about all this. Is there a real literal spiritual demon called Lilith that is attacking children and that is perpetuating some of these things. I want to know what you think about all that. Please leave me a comment in the comment section below. Don't forget to subscribe, click the bell for notifications, and keep checking joshpeckdisclosure.com for updates. We're adding articles now. There's three up there right now. More to come, so make sure you go check that out. Very exciting stuff. All right, everybody, this has been a blast. I love you all. Till next time, take care and God bless.